So I get the opportunity to welcome you into a new series here at Word Life. It is called The Faith Walk. So we know as believers that faith is important. And not only is it important, it's fundamental in our walk with God. And so our goal here at Word Life, as we're going through this Faith Walk series, is to understand that your relationship with God is one of trust, resilience, and faithfulness to the Word of God. We believe. And I say we believe because Pastor Freddie often teaches us that the Word of God will work according to what you believe it will do. So it takes a participation, a partnership with the Lord. We want to understand how our lives are built around the thoughts, ideas, and beliefs we put into action. We have to live out God's Word. We are the result of time, study, and understanding of the Word of God. So as we go through this series, it is our hope and our prayer that you not only grab on to the idea of what faith is for you, but you grab on to the Word of God to allow faith to develop within you. Amen? It is important for us to have a faith walk. And how many of you know that God loves our faith? He's looking for our faith. He needs our faith in order for Him to continue to do all what He's already done. Amen? Good, good, good. So our scripture, which will be the foundation I found in the Hebrew, in the Passion Translation, is it's Hebrews 11:6. They have that up for me. Let's read it together. It says, "And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real and that He rewards the faith of those that passionately seek Him." Amen. And I'm one of those that are passionately seek Him. And I hope that you'll agree with me that we go together to get all of what God has for us because He's already done it. So you know me, I like to go through definitions so that we just don't talk about something without having an understanding of where it begins and how we are going to develop this series over time. So let's just talk about what faith is. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's what faith is. We all have faith. Whether you have faith that things are going to happen or things are not going to happen, that's the faith that you have. Everyone has faith. Being faithful is remaining loyal and steadfast. It's being trustworthy. That's what faithful is. Fathers that we're honoring today in our Father God, a father is a man in relationship to his child or his children. And God's faithfulness is God's word is true and He is faithful to His word. And God is not a man that will lie. God is always faithful to His word. Amen? Awesome. So again, the importance of understanding faith is vital to our walk with the Lord. We have an individual relationship with Him that He created us, He developed us, and He wants us to walk out that relationship with Him, building our faith step by step. So today we're going to talk about our faithful father. And one of the best examples that I know of in the Bible is Abraham. He's the father of faith. So why don't you go with me to Genesis chapter 17. So turn your devices, your Bibles, whatever you have. Let's go to Genesis 17. And I'm going to refer to the Amplified version, but most definitely it says the same thing in your version as well. So looking at Genesis 17, verse number 1, it says, "When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete.'" Verse 2 says, "And I will make my covenant, solemn pledge, between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Let's go on down to verse number 4. And it said, "And as for me, behold, my covenant, my solemn pledge is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations." So when we're talking about a covenant is an agreement. It's a contract. It's an agreement that God established with Abraham. And what that meant, it meant everything, because it was a foundation of the relationship. It was a foundation of the agreement between God and Abraham that he was going to make him a father of every nation, because Abraham had found favor with God. Now, I want you to know, whether you knew it or not, that we are descendants of Abraham, that we have a contract. We have an agreement with God, that God is going to make us prosper in all the things that we do in him. So Abraham, Father Abraham, I'm a descendant, and so are you. So in we look in Genesis 17, verse number 9, it shows where God pronounced a blessing over Abraham. Let's just take a look at it. You have it for me? Awesome. Let me just pull it up on my phone. That's why we have these devices. Oh, there we go. Number 6. Genesis 17:6 says, "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." Verse number 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for everlasting solemn pledge to be a God to you and your posterity after you." Go on to verse number 8. "And I will give to you and your posterity after you the land in which you are a stranger, going from place to place, all of the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And finally, in verse number 9, it says, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your posterity after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised." So what's so amazing about God is God established it right there with Abraham, that whatever Abraham set his eyes upon was his. It was a covenant that couldn't be broken. And so Abraham continued to develop in his faith with God because of this foundating promise that God had made to him. So Abraham continues to walk along the earth. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if God had told me that he made a covenant with me, which he already has, I would be excited about the power and the prestige that I walk in because of my relationship with God. So Abraham continued to walk with God. And he was a man, so he had man things that happened, because we know Ishmael came out of his man situation. But we also know that there was a blessing that came upon him when he had the promise of Isaac, the son that he was going to have with his wife, Sarah. And the reason why Isaac was such a blessing was because Abraham was over 100 years old, and so was Sarah. So I don't know about you, but that's some kind of blessing for God to say that you're going to be able to have a son, and that promise is going to be Isaac. So we see as Abraham is walking amongst the earth, doing what God would have him to do, and he see the promise that came to pass, which built his faith to know that God did what he said he was going to do. He had the manifestation of his son Isaac in his life. So Abraham continues to study. He continues to serve God, and he continues to walk amongst things and has a certain prestige or a certain comfort in knowing that God takes care of him because he's a faithful father. So then there came a time when God wanted to test Abraham's faith. And I believe God is such a good God that he doesn't put you through a test in order just to do it. He puts you in a test to be able to build up the faith that you have, to stretch you to a whole nother level of faith, because the testimony of the test that you are going to go through is going to lead other people to know how faithful God is. So let's just take a look at that. When we get to Genesis, just a little bit more word, a little bit more word, then we'll talk a little bit. In Genesis chapter 22, looking at the New Living Translation, let's look at verse number 1, because God was faithful and provided sacrifice for Isaac. So verse number 1, "So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called." I don't think God sounds like that, but for a fact. "Abraham, yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to Lem of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of those mountains, which I will show you." Then the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out the place God had told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come back right. We'll come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them walked on together. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied. "Here I am." "Don't lay a hand on that boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it at a burnt offering in place of his son. I want you to know and I want you to see Abraham. So God told Abraham, "You are going to take the son that I promised you, the son that you love, the son that was righteous in God's eyes. Take that son that you love, take him up to a mountain where you don't know where you're going, but take him to that mountain. And at that mountain, you're going to offer the son that you love that I gave you for sacrifice unto me." Now, it's quite different now than it was back then, but understand what was going on in Abraham. He's the father of faith, but he loved his son, but he loved God. And his mission and his relationship with the father was to do what the father asked him to do. So it says he got up early, because I know I would be getting up early if the Lord told me to take one of my kids and sacrifice to him. He got up early, and I'm sure he was praying and he was talking. And he was like, "Okay, I know that God told me that I needed to do this. I know that I need to sacrifice my son. And you know what? I have faith enough to believe that God's already got it taken care of. I don't know what that means, but I know that God loves me enough, and I have faith enough in the Lord God that I know that God will take care of me." So he goes to the mountain, and he goes to the place where God told him to go. And he didn't go by himself. He actually had two other people that were with him, two servants. And he tells the servants what to do, as we read. And him and his son go up. And even when the son questioned him to say, "Father, it just doesn't make sense. I don't see what we're going to be sacrificing," having no idea of what's going on, he said, as a father would, "Don't worry about it. God's going to provide what we need." And when they get to the point where he's going to have to raise the knife to take care of his son, to offer the sacrifice for the Lord at that very moment saw his pure heart, saw the faith that he had, that he knew it didn't matter what was going to happen. Just like I told my servants we were coming back, I'm going to come back with my son. Whether if I had to sacrifice my son and the Lord raised him from the dead right there, whether if I had to do whatever I had to do, I know that God was going to make a way for me to be able to do what I needed to do. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of faith that we want to have. So as each step that he was walking, you think of the heaviness on his heart, knowing that he was going to have to give his son that he loved so much. He was going to have to sacrifice him to the God, the only God, the God that he had a covenant with. He knew that he was going to make everything all right. And that's what faith is. Faith is walking things out when you don't know anything else to do. When you don't know anything else to do but believe what God said in his word, the word that he spoke to you, the covenant that he made, that's what faith is. And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. Well, you know, when I talk about faith and we're looking around us and we're seeing that we're having a state and a city and a country mandate that we have masks to protect us. But how much more do we have when we have the Word of God inside of us, that we can live out the pages of what the Word says about any situation, knowing that no matter what goes on, God's going to protect us. No matter what's going on, no matter what sacrifice we have to make, God is going to protect us in the middle of what's going on and bring us to the other end because he sees our faith. The faith walk is not something that we just say or something that we pretend or something that we see other people lived out based on what doctrine they want to believe or any message that they want to hold on to. The faith walk becomes a personal relationship with God when you can step in and you can hold on and believe what only God has spoken to your spirit because of your time spent with him and your time spent with the Word. God is so amazing. He's so good. You know, we see Abraham's testimony because that's a testimony. Because you and I both have testimonies. We have things in our life that have happened to us that we came on the other side of. And anytime that you can tell of the goodness of God to somebody else, it speaks faith into their life to believe that God is no respecter person. He can do it for you too. God is so amazing that way. And we have to get in the level of our faith walk to continue to know that whatever situation we go through, we're going through it, but we know that God's on the other side of it. We're going through it, but it's okay. No matter what it looks like, we know in the end that God's going to win because we are the vessel chosen by God that has a covenant to allow us to do what only the God we love can do. God is so amazing. He's so good. You know, what's so amazing about all of what we go through is that it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, not just the good things, but the things that are not so good. That in this time of a pandemic in the world, that families are actually reuniting and spending time together. That's a good thing. That in this time that we were so busy that we didn't have time or schedule to talk to one another, that God allowed this negative to be a positive where we're being able to sit down with one another and have conversations that maybe we never had before. That in this time of racial inequality and where people are feeling and not understanding who they are according to how God created them, we're able to testify of being a citizen of the kingdom of God and knowing that God is not a race, God is not a gender, God is not anything but a sovereign God that allows us to step in and understand his understanding of how he created us. It is an amazing time in this world that everything that you can look for to see the illness and the strife and the discord and all that, you can see much more the sovereignty of God and what God wants to do in your life because you chose to believe in him. God is amazing. He's amazing. And, you know, sometimes I get overshadowed by all of the things that are coming at me and the news that's going on. But when I step into my faith and I know that God did that back then, well, he's going to do it again. It just rises up inside of me another level of faith of what I need to pull from him. You know, we are qualified to receive God's faithfulness. Let's turn real quick over to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. We're going to look at it in the New American Standard Bible, but it's important for you to put your eyes on this because, you know, the enemy comes and he comes quick to try to steal the word. But the more word you have on inside of you, the more you're able to pull back the layers of what the enemy is trying to confuse you and do because you understand and know the foundation of your relationship that's built with God. So in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, it says, so much more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Verse 23, the former priests on one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus on the other hand, because he continues forever, he holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you understand? Abraham had one covenant, but we have a new covenant that when God sent his son Jesus, Jesus makes intercession for us forever. And the covenant that we have is a covenant of grace and of freedom and of faith that work together to allow us to have the kind of life that we really want to have. You don't have to be confused or destroyed by everything that's going on around you. You can stand firmly right in the middle of God's word and allow it to swim all around you and be covered in his grace and his faith and the pureness of what he wants to do in your life. Because it's in that moment that you'll be able to hear his small voice telling you, go to that mountain, Terilyn. Give me that thing that you were holding on to. Sacrifice it for me because of your faith in me, knowing that I'll take care of you in the end. What do you need to take to the mountain? What do you need to sacrifice? Abraham is not just a person or a story that we hear in history. He's an example of what we want to do. What do you want to do for God? Faith makes hope a reality. You know, our trials and our testimonies, like I said, they're sometimes hard. Jesus said that we would have trouble here on the earth because the earth is not ours. He said we would have trouble, and faith that makes hope a reality. Hope is the assurance. It's a feeling of expectation and a desire for things to happen. We have to have hope. And you know what? I'll tell you, there is a whole lot of hope around us. You know, you can actually see the hope around you when you start putting yourself in expectation of things that are going to happen. We do it every time there's a wedding. We do it when there's a baby shower. We do it when there's graduation or muscle shows. We put all of our energy into things that we are expecting to come to pass because we have a way that we want it to look. We have a way that we want it to be because we're developing our faith in that one particular area. So I submit to you that we need to develop our faith around the Word of God and the things that pertain to our life. We have to have a hope and an expectancy of what God's going to do with us and through us in order for His Word to show up here on the earth. You know, it's amazing if you really think about it. Girls, we're really good at this. You know, at weddings, you know, we'll get the books. We'll get all of that. For babies, we read books about how it is to be pregnant and what it's going to be like when we have a baby. For muscle shows, I remember my husband was in one of those things. You know, he was so consumed about his diet and his nutrition and all of that. It's amazing what we put our energy and our focus into when we have a desire to do it. So I think all that God's asking us is to put the desire and focus in on Him so He can continue to develop our faith. He wants to develop our faith because you know what? He wants to trust us with more. There's so many gifts that I think is so amazing. I think I heard my husband, I heard someone else say that, you know, one of the places that a lot of the gifting of people are that you can find all these different gifts are in the graveyard. That's where a lot of people, their gifts are there. That they never allowed their faith to develop in the different areas that God could use them. It's true. It's true. If you really think about it, you know, we have to have an aggressive and on time, on fire faith for the Lord and for His Word. We have to hunger for righteousness. We have to hunger for the things of God, that there isn't any other way to be but right. There isn't any other way to be. If you're wrestling about things in your life, of things of sin, if you're wrestling of things of confusion, that's not God. That's not what His Word says. What you have to do is come into the authority of a believer. And what authority of a believer does, we just believe. We believe God's Word is true, and we apply His Word to our life. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? Absolutely yes. It's absolutely worth it. You know, what's so incredible is that, you know, obeying God really ignites the faith in our lives. Because a lot of people, I remember when we got into the things of God and, you know, a lot of people would kind of scorn you. You know, I think what's so funny, I've been around people that are in the things of the world where they're shrinking or they're in homosexuality or they are, you know, in drugs, whatever it is that they're in. And when I show up, all of a sudden, everyone kind of looks at me funny. They make me feel as if something's wrong with me because I don't choose to drink, or they don't choose to cuss, or they don't choose to do drugs and all this. I become the odd one out. And so they start making me feel funny or say conversations, oh, you've been there. You've been in those situations where, you know, it's just not something that you want to do. It doesn't mean that you're better than them. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, you're elevated above them or have a better intellect, but it does mean that you are righteous before them. And so it becomes their problem when you're in that situation rather than your challenge. It's just amazing. It's so amazing that in this world, people will turn around what you do and how you believe God for situations in order, in exchange for what they want to live in the temporary moment for. You know, but we have to have a righteous life that's before God, that's pleasing unto Him, to be obedient to the things that He's given us. You know, it's so amazing to me how some people, you know, they get a car and they don't take care of the car and the car's dirty and it's just unkept and they don't change the oil and all that. But yet they're believing for a brand new something that they haven't even been good steward over what they actually have. We have to be good stewards of whatever God's given us to qualify for the next stage of faith in Him, to believe for more. It's absolutely what we need to do. So, you know, the consistency is faithfulness. Our consistency, our continuing to go to God to allow our decisions have first priority in what He would have for us to do. You know, I'm not telling you it's easy. I've been in many situations where it wasn't easy, that, you know, if I had to make a decision, you know, I put so much pressure on myself about the decision. And then at the end, I would end up turning to God instead of immediately turning to God in order for Him to guide the decision. And I'm just letting you know today that when we're walking in this faith walk, our priorities have to be what God would say about a situation. What would God say about a situation that would allow us to be able to walk in the fullness of everything He has for us? You see, because God is a God of now. We tend to put God in a box based on the situation that we're going through. We're thinking and we're believing the situation that we're going through is so much, and it's just a lot going on, and I don't know what I'm going to do in all of this. But don't you know that God not only saw that situation coming, He sees the fruit after of what's going to happen, and He saw before it happened what was going to happen. He's a God of now. He's not divine by the situation that you go through. He is a supernatural Father that will take you from situation to situation. He will allow you to go through the situations in order for you to continue to search Him out in that situation to be empowered to go through it faster. God is so amazing. He's so wonderful. You know, and I just want you to know, your goodness isn't required for God to be God. You don't change God based on what you think, what you do, or how you are. God is God. God is God. So don't think that your petition, your like, your dislike, your temperament, your because you have this behind your name, your title, that puts you in a position to be closer to the Lord. What brings you closer to the Lord is the faith that you walk in to believe Him there the more. That's what brings you closer to God. And the more you get closer to God, the more humble you become. You become humble because you understand and know it's not because of you. It's because of the God inside of you that continues to permeate in the earth, that continues to be a witness to those that are around you, that continues to give Him glory in everything you do and everything you say. That's what God is looking for. That's what would solve all of our problems at this point. Because we have people looking more to God instead of their own opinion and what they think, or what side they should step on, the right, the left, the center, whatever they wanted to do. If they were looking at what God says about it, then they would be looking to the Father for the peace and the instruction to move forward instead of looking side to side as to who is right about what. It's a faith walk that we need, and I'm so excited because it's available to me. It's available to you. We have the example of Abraham. God is so incredibly wonderful. He's just believers, they just believe. Now, the situations that you're in, it doesn't always turn out the way that you think it should. You know, faith is believing that you're equipped to handle what situation turns into. God is so faithful. God says in His word in Hebrews 13, chapter and verse number 5 and 6, He said, God will never leave you or forsake you. And I think a lot of times, and let me just say that again, God will never leave you or forsake you. I think a lot of times what we do in our situations is we leave God in that situation. It's too much, it's too hard, or we run to something else. We run to a man rather than running back to God. And the thing that we need to remember is God says he will never leave you or forsake you. So you need to go back and pick up God where you left him. Go back and pick up God where you left him. You go and pick up God where you left him and allow him to continue to walk with you, talk to you, because God redeems the time that he's not looking at. This was the day that I came to you. This is a thing that happened. He's looking at a relationship. He wants to continue to grow in the relationship. And you know what? It's up to us to dive into that relationship, to get out of it what God already set forth we could have from him. He is so good. You know, Jesus operated out of a relationship with his Father. Jesus did what God would have him to do. You know, we see that in John chapter 8, verse 42. We have the same ability to check in with our Father and make our decisions priority with God's direction. You know, regardless of what it looks like, God is so faithful. And leaning on God is enough. I had, me and Pastor Freddie, we had some friends of ours. Their names were Heidi and Darius Adams, and we loved them. They're definitely, truly, you know, some of our favorite people. We went to church with them some time ago, back when Pastor Freddie was working in another ministry, and they were just like family to us. I always loved and admired their relationship. They're good people. And, you know, throughout the times of us growing and all of us navigating, taking care of our kids, we basically kind of lost touch with them. You know, we didn't see them regularly in church attendance and that kind of thing. You know, our lives are two different cities, but every time we got together with them, it's like we picked up right where we left off. I hope you have some friends that are like that, right? So we just love on them and have fun with them, and then we'd go our separate ways. And there was some time that me and Pastor Freddie, just in the busyness of life, we hadn't had contact with Heidi or Darius. And when we came back in contact with them, we found out that Heidi had was diagnosed and was battling cancer. She had breast cancer. And so it was like, wow, she had breast cancer. I didn't even know that was going on. And, you know, then we came in relationship with him again. And Freddie's always talked with Darius. They're, you know, buds or whatever you call it, homies, whatever the word is. They're that, right? So he had talked with him, and I hadn't had an opportunity to talk with Heidi as much as Darius and Freddie had gotten together. Nevertheless, there was an opportunity that we understood that I think after Heidi had been cancer free, I think it was like 4 or 5 years that she was attacked again in her body with cancer. And at this point in time, she was battling it. So, you know, I remember praying and interceding for her to have the victory again, because God did it once, he can do it again. And I came to understand that Heidi went on to be with the Lord. So I was heartbroken. I was so heartbroken because it just didn't make sense. She was a young woman. She was in her early 40s, and she had 4 beautiful children. And this was like a picture-perfect family for me. And so I was really, really heartbroken because, you know, Heidi wasn't going to be here for her family. But when I went to her homegoing service, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a really good time. And I saw all the people coming together that we had fellowship with here and there, and all the people that loved her. And they loved her also differently, but so special. And then they began to talk about her last days when she was going to hospice. And I think someone had come across her, and they asked her the question, like, what do you know for sure? And one thing that Heidi said was, she said, I'm healed from cancer. And that struck me. I was like, wow, that was amazing. Here she is battling here on earth, but she believes that she's healed. And that ministered life to me. It was amazing. Because you know what? She was healed from cancer. Whether she's healed on this side or in eternity, she was healed. And that testified to me of the goodness and the grace and the sovereignty of salvation and our relationship with God. That no matter what it looks like or feels like, you have what God promised we would have. That although she's not here with us in person, she's internal with the Father. She's with Jesus. She's better than we will ever be until we meet with her again. It was amazing to me, you know. And then there was other things that they talked about in the service, and it was amazing. They talked about how Heidi had a jar for each one of her children, and it was a jar of prayers that she had loaded up, these jars of prayers. And I mean, they were really big containers. And I thought, that ministered to me too, because I knew at that point the Father was letting me know that every one of her prayers was going to be answered. There's no time and there's no restriction on your prayers. And that everything that was in Heidi's heart, God would see come to pass because he was so faithful. So she could go and be in the Father's arms knowing that her children here were taken care of. And that ministers so much to me, because you know what? It doesn't matter what it looks like. What it matters is your relationship with the Father and the faith walk that you choose to be on. It's amazing. And so, you know, we love them, and, you know, we always send love to Darius and everything, and their children are grown and big and all of this, and I see her prayers coming to pass. I know what she was interceding for as her kids. It's amazing, but our stories, our challenges, they're all testimonies. It's just all the perspective in which you choose to look at them, and God will continue to use them as you're the vessel that stands before him. You know, when we talk about Father's Day, you know, there are some people that when we talk about Father's Day, they didn't have a good experience with their father, you know, where they didn't have their father in their life. And so I just want you to know here today that this message is also for you. You know, Father's Day may have a bitter taste or bittersweet in your life about your experience with your father. I want you to know that experience is actually what God will use to propel you to be even a better father. To even be a better father, to be more than you even thought you ever could be. Because a lot of times what people don't realize is that your earthly relationship with your father is actually is going to be a duplication of the relationship you have with your heavenly father. And if you haven't had that relationship, you can just pick up the relationship with the father and move on. And it allows you to dive in with what God is and who he is, that he is a God of now, that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he is Jehovah Rapha, that he is all of these things, and so amazing that our little minds can't even comprehend. But we can continue to go through a faith walk and a relationship walk with him in order to learn more about who we are. That's what's so great about God, is that it doesn't stop with us getting one revelation after another. We continue to get revelation after revelation. We continue to know that we can be a vessel, be used, regardless of whatever situation it is around you, regardless of whatever you've gone through. You can be used by God because you choose to confess him as Lord. And that's the difference in this world. That's the difference. You know, it begins and ends with our fathers, you know, from the conception to actually having, you know, your life and how it is. It begins and ends with our Father God. You know, it's just so amazing when you put that relationship in together with what you do here on earth. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. You know, it gives you a clearer view of who you are to be. You know, as a man, you know, I look at my husband and, you know, his father was not always there for him. He left the household when he was younger. And, you know, I look at my children, I see how blessed they are to have him as a father. And what makes him better as a father is not because he's so great and he got, you know, Captain Crunch, or not because he did those things, because he did do those things. But what makes him a better father is that he submitted to Father God in order to bring his children up in the things of the world, things of the Lord. He didn't take his experience with his natural father, interfere with how he wanted to impart into his own children what he wanted them to have. And he really just was a steward over his children and gave his children over to the Lord. So I just want you to know that's what a good father is. You know, we're awesome. We're so happy and so pleased to have him as a representation of our household. But if you are that person that needs to go back to the Father God, you know, God redeems the time. There is nothing like giving your life over to the Lord to allow him not just to save you, but to be the Lord of your life, to allow yourself to live for God, to know and say, God, I want to be a vessel to be used by you. I want you to teach me. I want to walk with you in order to develop my faith. There's a time now that you can do that. You don't have to wait, and it's always going to be available to you. You know, your father, they support you and they love you through every experience. You know, and I'm so grateful, like I said, that I have my husband, and I'm so grateful that I have my dad, because there are many times that I don't think I was so pleasing to my father. You know, I mean, I know he loved me, but I think I wasn't pleasing to him because I'm so expressive. I'm that child. I was that child that would tell you I love you and, you know, hug on you and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of times I think I was probably a little irritating to my dad. But a father is someone that will love you regardless of where you are. They just accept you where you are. And they gird you up with where you are in order to help you be all of what you can become. Because a lot of our vision, a lot of our hopes, a lot of what we try to establish is established through what we think we're supposed to be. And a lot of times we find that based on the father figure that we have in our life, or based on the relationship that we have with God, our ultimate father. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to establish our relationship to be all of what God would have us to do in order for we can be all of what he wants us to be. Because there's so much more than just whatever job title you have or whatever education level that you have. There's so many things that are needed in the kingdom of God in order for God to do all of what God wants us to do. All he's looking for is some willing vessels to pick up and say, I will walk in my faith with you. You know, one thing that I wanted to make sure to tell you is that in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 6:16, the Lord talks about having a shield of faith and to avoid the darts of the enemy. You know, faith is not just something that's a noun that we just have faith. Faith is an action. We need to put on our faith in order for us to continue, not only to just do what God has us to do, but to stand righteous before God and before man, knowing who our Father is. That's the best thing that I can give you. And that's the ultimate thing in any Father's Day, is to know that Father God loves us, that he cares about us, that he wants us to be able to have not only what we think we should have, but the abundance that he sent his son to die for. So I think that's all I have. Oh my goodness, that's good. Oh my gosh, that was great, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding. So, Father God, I just want us to just take a moment right now, you know, that if you are watching online, if you're here in the house and you haven't had the best experience with your natural father, and you haven't had the best experience with Father God, to where you have had your situations explode over what the power of having God in your life will do, I want to take a few moments just to let you know that God hears you, that God loves you, and God created us for fellowship. He created us all different colors, all different sizes, all different everything, in order to be pleasing for him, that we are a reflection of the Father. And so there's nothing more important for you going back to the Father to accept him in all of what he wants to give you and all of what he's done. So if that's you, I just ask that you just know, and you bow your head right now and you say this prayer that I'm going to pray, and know that God hears you. Say, Father God, I come to you as I am. I believe you. I believe you love me. I receive your love. And I ask you to forgive me. Today's our day that I can walk better with you. I want this faith walk. I want to do what you'd have me to do and be all that you created me for. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me and being with me. In Jesus' name, amen.